Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. In this powerful letter, we're seeing great truths. Truths concerning man and sin and salvation and the work of Jesus Christ and, of course, God's great love for us and the Christian life and the church in Israel, even future events, all found in the book of Romans. Now, last time, we moved into one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God. Romans chapter 6 is the most important passage in the New Testament concerning how we can have victory in the Christian life. Knowing the great truths concerning our union with Christ gives us the key for victorious living. Last time we began by doing this. We started with some terms, then we looked at an outline of the chapter, then we put together the entire chapter as a whole. That's something we don't normally do, but for the whole thing to fit together, we had to see it. And this morning, as we begin going verse by verse, we're going to get some details because we need to understand the big picture and the flow of Romans. Then we can get the details in this passage. So we want to understand, and as we think about it, our union with Christ, as we can gain the victory in our Christian lives. And it's powerful, so we can live in the way that we should live. And so there's some great things here. Now, as we begin, think about the gospel. That's the good news message. It's the great word from God to man concerning salvation. How can a person be right with God? God's good news that He loved us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. Whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. This is called the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, I delivered to you of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He's buried, and rose again on the third day according to the Scripture. That's what he says. That's the gospel message. As we think about this, we need to understand how vital the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is. Now think about it. As we study Romans chapter 6, we need to understand that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our union with Him is not only the key truth for salvation, it is also the key truth for victory in the Christian life so that we can walk in newness of life. The death and resurrection of Christ is the key to salvation and the key to victory in the Christian life. Because in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. In Jesus Christ, we have victory over sin in our Christian lives. So as we study this and put it together, we'd be excited about the truths, and I pray it will change our lives. Because I think Romans chapter 6, as I mentioned earlier, I think it's the most important passage in the New Testament for victory in the Christian life. We're going to talk about how sometimes the view of how we're supposed to live the Christian life, I think, is different than what we find in Romans chapter 6, and we'll see some good things. Let's remember where we are in our study of the book of Romans. Let's think about the flow of the book. If you remember chapters 1, 2, and part of chapter 3, we saw the problem. The problem is we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether you're bad, good, religious, it doesn't make any difference. None of us measure up. So the problem is we're all going to be separated from God because the wages of sin is death. Then in chapter 3 and chapter 4, he gave us the solution to the problem, and that is God sent his Son. His Son died on the cross to pay for our sin and rose again, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And we're declared righteous with God, and we're made righteous with God. So that was powerful. Then as we moved into chapter 5, we got the results of salvation. And he said, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God. That was the first part of chapter 5. The last part of chapter 5, he then put together this contrast between being in Adam or being in Christ. And the truth is, every human being is either identified and connected in union with Adam or identified and connected in Christ. When a person comes into this world, we already come into the world identified in Adam. In Adam is sin and death. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're placed in Christ. That's righteousness and life. And so the last part of Romans chapter 5, he talked about that contrast between being in Adam or in Christ. Now, as we move to chapter 6, really chapter 6 and 7 go together, and we move from truths about salvation to move to truths about the Christian life. So really from this point on, as we go through the rest of the book of Romans, he's not going to really deal with the whole issue of salvation. Because in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he gave us the problem. Chapters 3 and 4, he gave us the solution. Chapter 5, he gave us the results. But now, as he gets into chapter 6 and 7, he's going to say, now, as a believer, how are we supposed to live? That's why I said a while ago, chapter 6 is the most important chapter in the New Testament for how are we going to have victory in the Christian life. Chapter 6 gives the key to victory. Chapter 7 gives us the conflict on the inside in our Christian life. Now, last week, as we moved into chapter 6, we did three things. First of all, I gave you some terms so you can understand the terms in the chapter as we go through it. Second, we got an outline of the entire chapter. We put it together. And then the third thing we did because he got a big overview of the whole flow of the passage. And I think it's powerful. We have to do that, because if I just started going a couple of verses here, he'd say, well, wait a minute, I don't see the flow. And so we have to see almost all of chapter 6 at one time. That's what we did last week, so we can get it. Now, we're going to review. I'm going to put it together and understand that if you can get these truths, let me say this, if you can get these truths, your life will never be the same, because the Christian life from that point on, you'll say, I know how to have victory. Because Romans chapter 6 tells us, and if we can do that, we will not be defeated by sin in our lives, but we'll live for the glory of God. Well, let me remind you. Let's start with the terms. We've got a handout or an overhead right here that gives some terms for Romans chapter 6. First of all, just the word when you see a sin or sins. We're talking about rebellion against God, departure from His character or commands. We're talking about that's what we call sin, where a person sins and does something wrong, personal sins. We're going to find that in the book of Romans chapter 6, he uses the word sin. It's singular. He'll say it in Romans chapter Chapter 6, verse 1, he says, shall we continue in sin? Notice he didn't say sins. Over in verse 11, he says, consider ourselves dead to sin. Now, when he uses the term sin in a singular form like that, he's talking about our natural bent to sin. Sometimes we call it the flesh. The Bible calls it the old man, the old nature. It's that part of us that we come into this world with that we naturally sin. We're naturally that way. We do not have to teach people to do wrong. We automatically do wrong. We have to teach people to do right. So we find out that inside of us, the Bible calls it the flesh, the old man, even sometimes sin within us. That's what it's referring to. So as we go through the book, Romans chapter 6, we'll see the term sin. And it's not talking about individual sins. It's talking about the flesh, that pull to sin within us. You might even call it, and I don't like to call it that because the Bible doesn't call it that, but people have called it your old nature. Bible doesn't use that term. Calls it the old man, calls it our old self, but it doesn't say old nature. But you might think of it that way. This is the way we were before we trusted in Jesus. Still have that pull, that sin. Now, the other word that's important that you got to understand in Romans chapter 6 is the word baptism. Literally, the word baptize or baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip or to identify. It's dealing with our union in Christ. Now, a lot of times when people hear the word baptism, they think of water baptism. In this passage, he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about the fact that when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, God actually places you in union with Christ. You're placed in the body of Christ. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And so when it uses the word baptize or that you're baptized into Christ in this passage, he's not talking about a water baptism. He's talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit places you in Christ when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so it's our union and our identification with Christ. So those terms are important, especially the word for sin, which means the natural bent to sin, the flesh, and the word baptism, which means that connection. Now, from there, we then looked at the outline. And let me put the outline up here for a minute. And there are actually two things, two sections and two questions. The two sections of Romans chapter 6 are verses 1 through 14, where he says we have freedom over sin because of our union in Christ. And then in verses 15 through 23, he says, and we need to choose. We're choosing to live in victory. That's the plan. He then has two questions, one in verse 1 and one in verse 15. That's how he starts the sections. The first question is, shall we continue in sin? And the answer is no, we have freedom from sin because of our union in Christ. Then in verse 15, he says, shall we sin because we're not under the law? And the same answer, no, we must choose to live in victory. So as you look at Romans chapter 6, he's raised two questions. He's going to answer the questions, but the whole purpose is to say, listen, you are free from sin. You have victory. You don't have to do wrong. You don't have to sin. That's where he is. Now, let me give you one other thing. We then ended last week. We put the whole passage together. I think it's important that you remember, put it in your brain, what's this chapter about? Let me put it to you simply this way. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are baptized into Christ. You are placed in union with Christ. And when Jesus died and rose again, this passage says you died and rose again to a new life in Jesus Christ. And you're not under the pull of the flesh anymore. You don't have to obey it. So we died and rose again. We're new people in Christ. He goes on to say that we need to consider and realize that we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. We're dead to the flesh and alive in Christ. And then he later says, and a little bit later in verse 13, he says, so therefore, don't present yourself to the flesh, present yourself to God. That's the key. Now, in this whole passage and how you understand the flow, there are really three words that stand out that will help you remember it. The word know, the word consider, and the word present. He says, no. Know that you died and rose again with Christ to a new life. You're a new person. You're to live differently. Consider that you're dead to sin and alive in Christ, that you don't have to serve the flesh anymore. And third, present yourself to God. From this day forward, if you can remember those three words, know, consider, and present. That's the flow of Romans 6. If you can remember who you are, if you know that you died and rose again to a new life with Christ, if you consider that you're dead to sin, you don't have to obey the flesh anymore, and if you start presenting yourself to God rather than your flesh, you will have victory in the Christian life. It's that simple. Now, that's not what normally is taught when people start thinking about the Christian life, but this is what it is. The big three. So just remember from this point on, I know who I am. I consider I'm dead but alive. And I present myself to God. That's the key. Now, that's the flow of Romans 6. I wanted you to see it again. We'll mention it right toward the end. We'll put it again. Now, this week we're going 1 through 7. Next week we're going to go through 8 through 14. Then the next week after that, we're going to go 15 and maybe the whole rest of the passage. I'm studying it right now, but I haven't got it as far as I want to get, so I don't know if we'll finish the whole thing. So we're going to be in here at least two or three more weeks so you can get the concept. And what I hope and pray is that by the time we've gone through this about three to four times, verse by verse and the big overview, that you'll be able to say, I think I've got this thing on how I'm supposed to live the Christian life. Because this will change you. We'll never be the same if we get this. We'll never be the same. Let's look at the details. We'll start with chapter 6. We'll begin at verse 1 and go through verse 7. It begins and it goes back with a union with Christ. Remember, the first key word in this section is the word to know. Now, for us to understand what's going on and why he raises the question, notice question chapter 6, verse 1, he raises this question. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so grace may increase? What kind of question is that? Where would you get that? Well, for us to understand it, we have to go back really a little bit to chapter 5 to verse 20. Now, we saw this last week, but look with me real quickly at chapter 5, verse 20. He says, the law came in so that transgression would increase. But notice the next part. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now, we talked about that verse really 2 weeks ago, and then last week we mentioned it. But here's what it's saying. Wherever there is sin, the grace of God will always cover sin. No matter how many sins we have, God's grace covers over it and deals with sin. That means that no matter how many times you sin, the grace of God will always cover it. You can't mess up so much that you say, well, it's not worth it anymore. I've sinned too many times. No, because God's grace covers all sin. That's why that song, grace that is greater than all our sin. It's true. Now, with that in mind, some person could say this, though. Wait a minute. You're saying that all the times that I sin, God's going to always cover my sin? So why not go on sinning? Now, it doesn't matter. I mean, if it doesn't really matter because I can just sin and sin because the grace of God is going to cover over my sin, why not do that? That's the question Paul raises at the beginning, because anytime you understand grace, we tend to want to say, oh, so if I can do that, then I can do anything I want. We tend to think that way. So here's what the question is. What shall we say then? This is verse 1. What shall we say? Since God loves us, since we're in Adam, and we're not in Adam, but we're in Christ, since God's grace deals with all our sin, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin? And notice, not sins, it's not plural. He's talking about the flesh. Are we to continue in the flesh, living in the sinful flesh, so that grace may increase? Shall we keep living in that old part of us which tells us to do wrong, which is wrong, which does wrong? Shall we continue to live in sin so that the grace of God will just cover it over anyway? Now, we almost laugh at that, but that's the way most people are taught how to live the Christian life. Let me show you what I mean. Most people are taught that, listen, you're going to sin. Everybody's, oh, and you're going to sin. So what you need to do is get 1 John 1:9 ready, because what do you do when you sin? Well, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So here's what we do. We go through the Christian life, and we know we're going to sin. So whenever we sin, the first thing we do is we just confess it. And we go through the Christian life with this idea that I'm just going to continue in sin, and the grace of God, confession of sin, it'll just cover it all. Now, that's the same thing as saying, listen, I've got my 16-year-old and just got driver's license. And so we've got the car and I go out, son or daughter, and I say, listen, you just got your driver's license. We just got back. You're ready to go. Now, listen, you're going to have a wreck. I know you are. You're going to have a wreck. I mean, that's what you're going to do. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's the insurance card. Here's the phone number. You're going to have a wreck. So go ahead and drive. That's the same as saying, you're going to sin as a Christian. You might as well just expect it. You're going to sin. That's how you live the Christian life. And so shall I continue in sin? Well, of course, so that the grace of God, I'll just confess it, it'll just cover over it. That's the wrong way to view the Christian life. Look how Paul gives the answer when he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. That's the strongest way in the Greek language you could say no. It's almost like he's saying, no, no way, no how. No, that's not how we live. Notice the key. How shall we who died to sin, died to the flesh, still live in it? The answer is the understanding that we died to the flesh. The flesh doesn't have that power. The key is we died to sin within us, the flesh, and we don't have to live in the power of the flesh anymore. Now notice what he says. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? He's saying we died to the power of the flesh. You don't have to live in the flesh. You don't have to obey the flesh. Inside of us, there's that natural part that says, do this, do this, do this, and it's wrong. You don't have to live in that anymore. You did before you were saved. That's all there was. Now you're a new person in Christ. You don't have to. He says, you died to that. We'll talk about it how in just a minute. But something I want you to notice, he says, we who died to sin still live in it. He's not saying we're dead to sin, because dead sin's still in us. It still pulls us. We died to sin. That's different than being dead to sin. The power of sin is broken. It's still within us. The flesh is still there. But you don't have to obey it. You don't have to. See, we don't want to live the Christian life like, I'm going to obey it. Get me 1 John 1:9. He says, you don't have to obey it. How shall you who died to sin still live in it? You died to the flesh. How do you live in it? When did this happen? When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're in union with Christ. And when Jesus died and rose again, you died and rose again to a new life. That's when you died to sin. In Adam, sin and death. In Christ, righteousness and life. Now he's going to get to that first key word. You remember the first word? It's no. No, consider, present. This morning, we're going to get no. And there's two things he says for us to know. Number one is that we know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. Number two, he says, know that this old man has been put to death. Two things there. We died, and the old man died. And we'll talk about it in just a second. Look what he says. Look at the key word in verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, remember, means identified, placed in union into Jesus Christ, have been baptized, identified, placed in union into his death? He says, don't you know that all of us, when we believed in Jesus Christ, we've been connected, placed in union in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized, identified into one body. When you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He placed you in Christ. Now notice what He says. Don't you know that all of us who have been placed into Christ, baptized into Christ, that we have been baptized or identified into His death? Now, this is something that's hard to comprehend, but it's true. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, when you trust in Him as Savior, when He died on the cross, guess what? You died on the cross. You're identified in Him, and when He died, you died. Notice what He goes on to say. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through identification, baptism into His death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. When He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He rose again, we rose again. That's why I'm saying you rose to a new life. Your identification is in Jesus Christ. You've been placed in Christ. And when He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He rose again to a new life, we rose again. And that's why it says, so that through the glory of the Father, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. You have a new life. You're a new person. It's called the resurrected life. You died, were buried, and rose again with Jesus Christ. You're a new person. You're not who you used to be. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a child of God. You used to be in Adam, sin and death. Now you're in Christ, righteousness and life. That's who you are. And the first thing he says that you need to know that you died and rose again to a new life with Jesus Christ. Wow. A Ephesians 2:5 says, we were dead in trespasses and sins, now we are alive in Christ. We're to walk worthy of our calling as a new person in Christ. We're to live the resurrected life. We are identified in Jesus Christ. We can't and don't have to live in that old self, that flesh. We live in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified. I died with Christ. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Several weeks ago on Sunday night, we had a baptismal service at our fellowship supper. It was right out there. And as a special time, water baptism is a picture of spirit baptism. Spirit baptism is when you put your faith in Christ, Holy Spirit places you in Christ, and you died and were buried and rose again with Christ. That's what actually happened, your identification with Christ. When people trust Christ as Savior and then they want to get baptized, water baptism, which is a ritual, it's just a picture of what's already happened. We put people in that water and I say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I take them and bring them down and bring them back up. That's a picture of their death, their burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ. That's already happened. In fact, at the end of the service this morning, several people who got baptized a couple of weeks ago are going to come up and we're going to give them a certificate. You're going to see them. That baptism, water baptism, was a picture of what's already happened. Every one of us in this room who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you've already been connected with Christ. You already died with Him. You were buried with Him. You arose with Him. And He says that we might walk in newness of life. We're to live a new life. Now, notice what he goes on to say in verse 5. He puts a little summary together and he says, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, and we have, certainly we'll be in the likeness of his resurrection. If we die with him, we rise with him. That's true. If we've been united in his death, we're united in his resurrection. We died and rose again. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose again, we rose again. We are in union with Jesus Christ. Bill Lawrence, my professor at Dallas Seminary, used to say this. He would say, you cannot live the way you used to live because you're not who you used to be. You're a different person. You died, were buried, rose again. You're different. And so Paul says, you want to have victory in the Christian life? Look, don't go through the Christian life saying, well, I'm going to sin, so I'm getting 1 John 1:9 because I'm just going to let the grace of God cover up all my sin. He says, don't think that way. You died to sin. You don't have to live in sin. You died and were buried and rose again as a new creation in Christ. You are to walk in a new life. And that's a powerful statement to every one of us in this room. You do not have to be defeated by sin. You do not have to go through life saying, well, I just sin and confess it and sin and confess it. I'm just, you know, I never have victory. You can have victory because you are a new person in Christ. You died and rose again with Jesus, and you can walk in a new life. That's what he says. Now, that's the first no. The first no is know that you died and rose again with Christ. There is a second no, and it's powerful. The second thing that we're needing to know is that our old self, that flesh, has been put to death. Look what he says, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with so that we no longer be slaves to sin. He says, know this. Now, this is the second thing we need to know, that our old self was crucified with him. Now, that old self is the same as the flesh, is the same as sin within us. It's that bent to do wrong. Some people call it the old nature. I just call it the old man, the bent to do wrong. He says that our old self was crucified with him. You understand that not only did we die and rise again with Christ, but our old self was put to death with Christ. And it says crucified. I want you to understand that means death. Death does not mean extinction. The flesh is still there, but the power is broken. Death means separation. When a human being dies, their body is separated from their soul and spirit. That's what death is. It's separation. Well, when the flesh died, it was separated from us in the sense that the power of the flesh, it does not have to rule over us. We do not have to obey our flesh. Now notice what he says. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that, here's the purpose, that our body of sin, our sinful body, our sinful actions might be done away with. That sin within us might be done away with. Now the word done away with in the Greek means rendered inactive. Doesn't mean destroyed. It means the power is broken. When you died and rose again with Christ, and when the flesh was put to death with Jesus, no longer does the flesh have power over you. You don't have to obey. Now, you can. You can all the time. You can follow your flesh anytime you want to, because the flesh is inside and the flesh is saying, do this. The Bible actually says in Galatians that there's a battle going on inside you. Galatians 5 says the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, contrary one to another. There's a battle inside of you. And that flesh is saying, look over here, do this, do this. And you don't have to listen anymore. You're a new person in Christ. You died and rose again to a new life. That flesh has actually been put to death to you, and you could say, I don't have to listen. I'm sorry. I'm not even looking over there. I don't have to obey you. I don't have to obey you. Notice what he says. Knowing that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with. Now here's the results. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. The sin is the flesh. He says, you don't have to be a slave to your flesh. Before you were a Christian, you were a slave to your flesh. Whatever the flesh said, that's what you did. That was all that you had. Now you're a new creation in Christ. You died and rose again with Jesus. You're a new person in Christ. You don't have to obey. The flesh's power has been broken. You don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. You don't have to be. You can. You can choose to sin anytime you want to. You don't have to. And I'm not saying you're going to live a perfect life. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that he knows our frame, we're but dust. But you don't have to live a defeated Christian life. You don't have to wake up in the morning saying, I know I'm going to sin, let me get my insurance card out, which is my 1 John 1:9, because I'm going to have a wreck all day long. That's not how he says to live. He says, don't live that way. He says, when you wake up in the morning, you know who you are. You are a new person in Christ. You died and rose again to a new life. You also know that this flesh has been put to death to you and does not have the power over you anymore. You don't have to obey. He puts it in summary, verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. You're freed from the flesh. You're not under its slavery any longer. Later on in the passage, when we get back to verse 16 and verse 19, he's going to make a statement. He's going to say, whoever you put yourself under, that's who you slaves to obey. If you yield to the flesh, you're a slave to the flesh. If you yield to the Holy Spirit and to God, you're a slave to God. He said, that's how you live. One way or the other. He says, you're freed from the flesh, from sin. Wow. When we died and rose again with Christ, we're new people. The flesh has been crucified to us. We no longer have to serve him. Listen to this. Here's some of the statements in that passage. We're dead to sin. We're not enslaved to sin. We're freed from sin. Our old self has been crucified. We walk in newness of life. We've been raised up with Christ. We have a new life in Christ. So two things we know. We know we died and rose again with Christ to a new life, to walk in a new life, and we know that our old self has been put to death. Now, as we think through this passage, remember the three words? Know, consider, present. This morning, we've looked at the know. Know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life and that power of sin is broken. Consider, that's verse 11, consider yourself dead to sin but alive in Christ. You need to begin to change. Now, this is the change. This is where it happens. You got the information. Now you've got to begin to think the right way. You've got to consider the fact that you are dead to the flesh and you're alive to Christ. He goes on in verse 12 and says, so stop letting sin, the flesh, reign in your body. Stop letting it rule you. Stop living by the flesh. And then he says the key word in verse 13, which is present. Therefore, present yourselves to God. So remember the big three? Know, consider, present. Know that we died and rose again to new life in Christ and that sin has been put to death. Consider the fact that we're dead to sin. And we're alive in Christ. Now, that's where it's going to start happening. We'll get to that next week. But I want to give it to you now because I don't want you to be defeated another week. Consider that you're dead to sin but alive in Christ. And then you present yourself not to your flesh. That's sin. Present yourself to God. That's righteousness. It's a powerful passage. Knowing, considering, presenting. What have we seen? We've seen, well, the question is raised. Should we sin because God's grace will keep covering it? Answer is no. We died to sin. We're not to live in the flesh. Know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life and we're to walk as a new person. Know that our flesh has been put to death and we're freed from the flesh. And so we should live in a new life. Let me give you some applications. Let's see this. The first one is very simple. Let's walk in newness of life. In the newness of life, we got a new life. We're new people. Let's gain the victory in the Christian life. We need to live the resurrected life. We're not who we used to be, so we can't live the way we used to live. A, let's not live in the flesh, live in sin, which is the flesh. See, even though the grace of God will cover any sins that we do, that's just, he says it's true, we're not to live that way. Even though it is true that no matter how many times you sin, you deal with your sin, God always covers it and deals with sin. He says that's not how you live the Christian life. Don't get in the car saying, I know I'm going to have a wreck, so here's my insurance card. You get up in the morning, I know I'm going to sin, so let me get 1 John 1:9 ready. No. He says, don't live that way. B, know that we are in union with Christ and we are new people. We died and rose again with Jesus. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he rose again, we rose again to new life. We need to walk in newness of life. We're new people. We're not who we used to be. Third, C, know that we are freed from the flesh. The flesh, you died to the flesh, and the flesh died to you. That's victory. The old man was crucified, rendered inactive. The power of flesh is broken. We are freed from sin. Now remember, the battle for the soul is over, but the battle rages on daily. Who are you going to yield to? Who are you going to present yourself to? You know, you consider, you present. May we walk in newness of life, having victory, as we know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life and we're new people and that we've been freed from the power of sin in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these great truths. Lord, as we think about our lives, we realize that in Jesus Christ, he did it all. He died and rose again and paid for sin and gave us great victory. And Lord, we want to walk in newness of life. We don't have to live in the flesh. Even though we know that your grace deals with all sin, we're not to live that way. Lord, we know that we're in union with Jesus. We died and rose again with him. We're new people. We're to live in that way, that we've been freed from the flesh. And Lord, as we think about the passage, we know who we are. We consider that we died to sin and we are alive in Christ. And we now present ourselves not to the flesh, but present ourselves to God. Lord, thank you for these believers. Use us, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Help us to see this so that we can gain the victory day in and day out. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.